It probably could have stayed in that right there forever. Stayed a long time. It's one of my favorite things to do. Just spend time in the presence of God. Just. I'll go through this quick. I just felt like God really put this on my heart to share with you guys. I'll try to go through it quickly. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord, for your presence. Since the beginning of the year, there's been a strong stirring in me, and it's like we're supposed to grow, move forward, and I've been feeling it so strongly, so strong that we need to grow, or at least I do. And I think if you're a Christian believing, you believe that you need to grow too, even until you're with Jesus, I believe you still need to grow. And something that's been stirring in me is that I shared this with the youth, but it's not. I changed some stuff here a minute ago. This started last week, last Sunday. I changed our format for our youth group. And I felt God was really pushing us towards this. And I even brought it up to Lucy. And Lucy also was agreeing that we need to go to that. And we're going to a place of strong focus on prayer and worship. Because, like, I guess it was me not kind of being lazy, but we kind of became known as the youth group with the best games, which is, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's what everybody would say. Like, I would see students at the hallway at the high school, and they'd say, oh, Peter, those games were awesome. You guys have the best games. I always love going and playing the games. I was like, oh, cool. But then I would go, what about the lesson? What about the presence of God? Was it? But I think that was a moment for then. Because it was, we did have good, the presence was there. Even when we were playing the games, the presence of God was there. There was joy. There was like healthy competition. And it was just a really, really good way of building people up. But I feel now that God is moving us towards a prayer and worship. And I really, really feel that people are going to start saying that, oh, that's the youth group with the best prayer. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I can't wait until that happens. But something that I was sharing with the youth is that suddenlies don't happen suddenly. Suddenlies don't happen suddenly. Think about it. I when I thought of this, I thought about sports. When a professional athlete comes to the scene, he starts playing good. They usually say something like, oh, like out of nowhere, he came. Or like all of a sudden, he was a good player. But the thing is, that athlete, that professional athlete has been that going after that for many, 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 many years, since they were kids. And if you look at like I don't know, I know a lot about soccer, and more than any other sport. But in other countries, they have the team, right? So like the city has a team, they call it a club, and then they have age groups all the way down to like. U6, I think, some teams have it. So these kids are in a professional contract since age 6. And the club is building them up. So one day, when they're usually 18, around that time, they make it into the first team. I know, like, here in the United States with baseball, they have the minor leagues and stuff like that. But these players are working at that since they're young. It's not overnight. Think of it another example. Think of it the like baseball. You're the players in the World Series. You're in the World Series. Game 7. Was it bottom of the 9th? You're down by 3. Bases are loaded. You hit a home run. You win the game. Yes, the bat suddenly hit the ball, right? But to get to that position, that player had to work first all season to get to the World Series, and then the whole series to get to the Game 7. And then before that, they had to work their entire lives to get to the position to get offered a professional contract. They didn't get there by accident. It's the same with actors. Actors, they don't just come out of one movie and went just off the streets. Artists, they don't just start one day. You might see potential, but they're not famous artists the day they start painting. Preachers. Preachers don't wake up one morning and learn how to preach. I'm sure God can make some exceptions. And so, like, all of a sudden you could preach. But even though if God gives you that, you still have to grow in it. Worship leaders. Worship leaders cannot be worship leaders overnight. They have to grow at that. Musicians. Everything. I could keep going down. Something that a lot of people don't understand, especially the youth, they were surprised by this. Songwriters. I told them that songwriters, the number one song that you hear in the radio, doesn't matter if it's Christian, secular, whatever's in between, that artist probably wrote thousands of songs before that one came out. Who watched the Avengers? The newest one, the Infinity War. I'm about to do a spoiler. Does anybody care? All right, you could close your ears, plug your ears, if you don't want to hear this. All right, so what was the big end of the movie? It was Thanos, the bad guy, snapping his fingers, and all of a sudden, big spoiler alert here, I'm giving you a warning. Half the universe is destroyed, is gone. He snaps his fingers, and all of a sudden. But the thing is, it didn't happen all of a sudden. And if you know the movies, he had to go through all kinds of trials and things to get these Infinity Stones, which gave him the power to do that. He had to work to find those, and in the movie world, it took him eight years to get all that. To get to that point where he got what he wanted. So now we're going to look into the Bible, so we could actually be biblical. not talk about movies from last year. And we're going to look at some examples in the Bible. First person that came to mind when I thought about suddenlies was Moses. Right? Because we see the stories about him putting down the staff and parting the Red Sea, right? All of a sudden, he did that and the Red Sea parted, right? Yes, God did that suddenly, but Moses needed to be in that position in order to do that. First, he needed to, lead his people out. He needed to stand up to Pharaoh first. And then even before that, before standing up to Pharaoh, he needed to know the voice of God. Because if he did not know the voice of God, he would have ignored that flaming bush. We need to know the voice of God so we know where to be in position, so we could be in position to where he wants us to be. But I really think the best example in the Bible is David for this. If we'll go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel 16. Go ahead. All right, so is this verse right before Saul started acting up and God decided to anoint a new king? So he told Samuel to go find this person in this place. And so that's where we pick up. So verse 6, when they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. Verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Seven sons. Then Samuel said to Jesse, all of your sons are here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we shall not sit down till he comes here. Verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose and went. All right. If you've been around the church for some time, you've heard the story about David being anointed, right? I'm still blown away by like seven sons. Here, it doesn't really say his age in the Bible, but the smart people say he was about from like the ages 12 to 14. So somewhere in that age. So he was a young boy. And so he was out playing with his sheep, and somebody calls him in and says, you're going to be king. God says you're going to be king. So you imagine telling a little boy that you know that's, let's say, 12 years old, telling him that he's going to be king. Like, I'm thinking, like, if somebody told me I was going to be king, I would be like, okay, cool, so I start next Monday? 2 weeks from now? Right? No, nobody else? Nobody else would wonder when they would start? I would. Like, if somebody tells me you're going to get a new job, I'm going to wonder, oh, when am I going to start? So David knew he was going to be king. David knew he was going to be king. But he had to go through so much stuff before becoming king. He had to be prepared. First, he had to go through Goliath. We know that story, right? But even before he went through Goliath, he had to be prepared to take on Goliath. Because if we read right here in verse chapter 17 in 1 Samuel. So this is when David is talking to Saul. He said, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. So before David even went after Goliath, he had the history of going after lions and bears. David didn't wake up one day and feeling confident that he could take on Goliath, but he had history that he was able to save his sheep. I don't know, like, I know Goliath was a huge guy, but I don't know if he could take on a bear. That's just pretty big. Yeah. Then later, after this, David joins the army, Saul's army, and starts fighting for Saul. Saul gets jealous because David is winning a bunch and getting the favor of people. Then Saul wants to kill David. David then runs away, hides for a bit, grows, has multiple opportunities to kill Saul. And he says, no, I'm not going to hurt God's anointed, which is that's a whole lesson on itself. Then Saul dies eventually, and David becomes king. Again, I looked to the smart people on the internet, and they said from the time that David was anointed to the time he became king was about 15 years. Imagine waiting 15 years for something. Imagine waiting, somebody tells you you're going to do this, but you have to wait 15 years to do that. That's a lot. David needed to grow up. He needed to grow up physically, mentally, and spiritually. A lot of his growth came by doing the job that he was called to do, by taking care of the sheep, the job that his dad gave him. That's where most of his growing took place. Then his next big growth was in the cave when he was with a few of his friends. Those are his two biggest growths. When he was out doing the job of the father and in the cave growing, planting roots. God wants us to grow. Mitch, could you go to Hebrews? He wants us to grow. There's so much more than he wants us to grow in so much more than what we think we know. Hebrews 6:1, it says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance, but from dead works and of faith towards God. There's so much more. There's so much more. And we could even go through that parable in Luke 8. It's in red letters. I did that on accident, but it's cool. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not go on trying to go so fast. So that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock, are you going forward, Mitch? Go to 13. And those on the rock are those who they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They'll leave for a while in a time of testing and fall away. It's the thing's moving. I'm just going to read it from here. Verse 14. And as for what was felt among the thorns, they, all those who hear, but those who go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches of pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who hear the word, hold it fast in the honest and pure heart, and bear fruit with patience. Keep that in mind as we go into the next scripture in Acts 2:17. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. It says old man will dream dreams. You know, I know that it doesn't mean like old men are going to dream dreams. And so I did a little study on this, and I went to see what was the difference between visions and dreams. You know what I found? I found out that one is when you're awake and the other one's when you're not, when you're sleeping. So that wasn't very much help. But in the specific verse, I looked it up, what dreams meant in the Greek. And what I found is dreams are when God speaks to you without distraction. Yeah. Dreams mean is the way God speaks to you without distraction. That's what dream means in this verse. And so if we go back to the old men will dream dreams, old men are experienced. And they know that they are to put away distractions and focus on Christ. Like in it says in Luke that we just read. That some of them are choked away by the... That's not the one I was looking for. Anyways. The cares of the world will keep you busy, so you won't be able to be alone with God. Be distraction-free with God. The cares will choke out the voice of God. The dreams. And God has given each and every one of us dreams. Dreams are so important to being a Christian. And I'm not talking about the dreams that you're sleeping dreams. And I'm not talking about dreams about being the richest person in the world. It's these God dreams that it's about His presence. It's about going after His presence. It's a dream of an end product that leads people to Christ. Because yes, you could have a dream to be a professional athlete. That's fine. Yes, you could have a dream to be the world's best whatever, to have a million cars and 10,000 houses and 3 different islands. That's all fine, but those are not the God dreams that God has given you. The God dreams will lead more people to Christ. If God has given you a dream, and it hasn't happened, it just means that you're still growing. That's still growing. The foundation is still being built. Foundations or roots, like it is a lot of times in the Bible. We're our roots. We grow our roots, right? We read that in the Bible, grow deep in faith. Where do roots grow? In the sky where everybody could see them?
The ground, underground.
Yeah. Like, roots are cool. Like, I think roots are cool. I think they make cool shapes. But if you actually look at a root, it's pretty ugly. Yeah. It's just like a white, pale stick with, it looks like hairs. It's pretty ugly. You know what that means? It means that the stuff you're working on might be ugly. Just ask any singer, any musician, any songwriter, ask them about the first time they ever decided to do that. It was not pretty at all. There's this video, there's this artist named Ed Sheeran. I don't know if you guys know about him. He's really good. Like, he's a really good singer, singer-songwriter. He's good. And one of my favorite videos is of him being interviewed and him showing a video or an MP3 that he pulled out of his phone of him singing when he first started singing. And it is bad. It was really, really bad. Really, really bad. And he was telling in the interview that he had to work so, so hard on singing and songwriting. But even people were telling him to quit, that he shouldn't sing. A lot of times, our growth is not pretty. And sometimes a lot of people won't see the growth. But we know that we're growing in Christ, and it's okay. There's a job that God called us to do now. There's a job that God called you to do right now, this very second. And it's to prepare you for the next one, the next thing he has planned for you. And I know that God has given a lot of you dreams. A dream, a vision or a something to go after. And I'm here to tell you that don't be discouraged that it hasn't happened yet. It just means that you need to grow a little bit more. Sorry, but it's true. If you believe that the dream that God give you is a God dream, start working on those skills that you need to complete that dream. I had a youth come up to me recently and told me that he's been having a vision or a dream about doing and leading a youth conference or a youth camp. And it kind of hurt me because he goes to another church. And a lot of the other people are telling him that that's never going to happen. That he shouldn't be working towards that. That just look at you. He says he told me that they told him that they said that he can't even talk in front of people. How is he going to do a youth camp? And what I told him was, if you believe that that is a God dream, start working on the skills so you could get there. Start working on the plans that you want to do for that camp. Start working on that. And like, I could see him getting built up. And he said that he was going to start working on that. I don't know if he started. But In the same way that if you believe the dream that God gave you is a God dream, start working on those skills. Amen. If God called you to be a pastor, if you feel that God is calling you to be a pastor, start cleaning toilets. Because you have to deal with a lot of people's... If you believe God has called you to be an evangelist, start preaching to the people near you. If you believe God is calling you to be a worship leader, start working on your musicianship, on leading people, and not only leading people, the congregation, but also leading the people on the stage, because that is what a worship leader does, is try to get everybody on the same page. Here at this church, we believe that there's a great awakening coming. We believe that here in this church. And we have joined in with prayers of many believers all around the world that it's coming. And we are praying and praying and praying and seeking after and seeking after and trying to hear the voice of God to put us in position to be ready. Getting ready for the presence of God to burst in suddenly. And God is going to move suddenly, but only if after people are praying and firmly going after him. Once we start chasing after him, start positioning ourselves to get ready for the great harvest that's coming, then it's going to happen. It's not going to happen if we're not ready. Or if it happens when we're not ready, it's not going to be to the full effect that it could have been. And I could guarantee that there's people that have been praying for the next great awakening since the last one ended. That's a lot of years. I don't know how many years that is. But there's people that have been praying for a long time, and it's going to happen. And so I'm telling you, if you're waiting for your suddenly, you're waiting for that miracle, press in a little deeper. Because it could be right there. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come here before you and your presence to come down, Lord. And I just thank you that you're going to go with us and help us grow and help us go deeper in you, Lord. And I thank you that your presence is continually with us, Lord, and that we don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about bills, about anything, Lord. I just thank you that we will just go forward with your presence and learn how to grow in it, Lord. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.